Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Chof Hei. We begin on the very top line, Chof Hei Omer Aleph. We remind ourselves that in yesterday's shiur, towards the end of the shiur, we discussed the concept of a reyach of a get. This is an idea that if a person gave an invalid get to his wife, nevertheless, that might cause his wife to be considered a gerusha midirabbanon, in regards to the fact that if the husband were to have died then subsequently, and the woman is actually technically a widow because the get wasn't a valid get, the woman nevertheless would be prohibited to marry a kohen because of this reyach of a get, because it smelled a little bit like she had had a get given to her, and therefore people mistakenly might say, hey, she married a kohen, it must be that the kohen's allowed to marry a grusha. So at the end of yesterday's shiur, we brought down a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, the four cases that we had in our Mishnah, each one subsequently teaching us a new din in regards to what is a valid get or not. So Shmuel's opinion was that all four of those cases, it was considered a reyach of a get, whereas Rav's opinion was only in the second, third, and fourth cases, but not in the first case, which dealt with a get that was made out of an instructional school. They were teaching people how to write a get, and they threw away the get, and after that, or a person purchased a get from that educational school where the sofer were learning how to write a get. So Shmuel held that even that has the reyach of a get. If the husband were to give that to his wife, it of course would not divorce her, but it would have the reyach of a get. Rav held in that situation it would not have the reyach of a get, but cases 2, 3, and 4, he agreed with Shmuel it would have the reyach of a get. So we pick up today, Chaf Hei Omer Aleph, the end of the very first line from the top, with the words Ziri Omar. Ziri gives us a different explanation. He says, Kulon Ein Poslin. Ziri says that in none of those situations is it considered, neither case 1, 2, 3, or 4 is it considered a Reach Baget, with the exception, Chutzuna Achron, in the last case. The last case, of course, dealt with the person who said, right, he told the sofer, write a get for my wife. He had wives. Both wives had the same name. So Reuven tells the sofer, write me a get for my wife, Rachel or Leah, and I will give it to whichever one I decide to give it to. So even there, that is not considered a valid get, but only in that situation does Ziri say, if this person gave this get to his wife, while she would not be divorced, only there would it have the reyach of a get. If he then subsequently died and she was a widow, she would not be allowed to marry a kohen. But only in that case, only in case 4 for the Mishnah, and not in the previous 3 cases. That's Ziri's opinion. And this is also the opinion of Chayin Omar Rav Asi, Kulon Ein Poslin, Chutz Bina Achron. Rav Asi agreed with Ziri, and they held that only case 4, this case where it really almost was a get, but because of Braver, we said it doesn't apply, that it's a get, and therefore, only in that case is there a Reach of a get. But in cases 1, 2, and 3, according to both Ziri and Rav Asi, there is no Chashash of a get, there's not even a Reach of a get in this situation. Now we have the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar, he's the most lenient opinion, if you wish. He says, Af Achron Nami Eino Posel. He says, even the last case, this case where the person told the sofer, write me a get for one of my two wives, both of them have the name Rachel, and whichever one I wish to give it to, that should be a valid get to her. So the Mishnah said that that's not a valid get, it's a posel a get. And Rav Yochanan says, even there, if he were to give that to his wife, there isn't a reyach of a get. Now, why does Rav Yochanan say this? The Ozer Rav Yochanan of Taimei, Rav Yochanan holds like his opinion elsewhere. The Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, the Rav Asi said, Rav Yochanan, we have a case where two brothers inherited their father. If the two brothers inherited the estate, so how would we view these two brothers after they divided up the estate? So are they considered over here that it was one estate and now each of them purchases, so to say, their share? They each now acquire their share, and therefore we say retroactively that's what each one of them actually inherited. Or do we say no, it was one estate and each of them now purchased their share and they are considered like lekuchos? So Rav Yochanan's opinion, as brought down by Rav Asi, is that the Achon Shechoku are considered lekuchos, and they're considered like purchasers in that situation, and therefore the nafkamina would be, when it comes to the Yovel, just like every sale goes back to the original owner, Umachzirin ze lozeh biyovel. So the two brothers that divided up the estate, so let's say the father died in the 25th year of the Yovel cycle. So now, when it reaches the Yovel year, so the brothers would have to go and give back each of them their respective shares, and then they would take it back afterwards. They would divide it up again. But the idea is that they're considered like purchasers. We don't say retroactively that that was what each of them yarshin. We say, no, they each yarshin 50% of everything. And now when they divide it up, so now they're considered like purchasers. I'll take this, you take that. One quid pro quo, one connected the other. And therefore, they're considered like lekuchos. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. And therefore, Rav Yochanan is telling us that there is no brera in this situation as well. And therefore, it's not considered something that is a valid purchase. And therefore, just like in our Mishnah, he taught us that in this situation when the husband said to the sofer, I want you to write a get for me for either one of my two wives, both of them have the name Rachel, and I'll decide which one to give it to. There's no brera over there. So too, there's no brera over here in the case of Yerusha. We don't say that retroactively it's determined that this was Reuven's portion, this was Shimon's portion that he inherited. I say, no, they both inherited everything, and then they purchased it one from the other. Now, the Gemara asks, why do we need two examples for Yochanan to tell us that there's no din of Brera? Our Mishnah, as well as this statement the Ravazi made in the name of Yochanan, Ha'achah Shekolku. So the Gemara says, Utsrichi, you need both statements to teach us Brera applies in both of these scenarios. You couldn't learn one from the other. Why not? Because the Itmar Baha, if we only had the cases of our Mishnah, where the man instructed the sofer to write him a get for whichever one of his two wives that are both named Rachel he wished to divorce, and you tell me that that is not even a reich of a get, because of Brera, it doesn't even have a hava meaning that that's a get, there's no reich of a get. So, Bahal Kama Rav Yochanan, named Brera. Only in that situation is there no Brera. Why? Mishum deba'inim, because the Pasuk tells us that you must have a law that the man must designate it specifically for that particular wife, not just for any one of his wives. It must be law lishma. And that's why. And only in the case of a get would you say that there's no brera. I will hustle with the case of the Achen Shekohu. You know what? Maybe he would agree that they are, in fact, brera. They're retroactively determined that this is the portion that Reuven inherited, this is the portion that Shimon inherited, and it wouldn't go back at the time of the Yovel. I would have said, I will hustle with the case of the Achen Sheyarshu. That is really brera. That is a retroactive determination. When is there not brera? That's with a real sale. Mecher, who the Yom Rechmon Elihad the Yovel, Avo Yerusha Matan Elo. In fact, only a mecher, only a real sale, does that have to go back at the Yovel. But something that is given over as a present, or something that is inherited, so then we say that belongs to that person and it doesn't go back at the Yovel. Oh, Kumash Malan. So therefore, Rav Yochanan had to tell us the case of the Achen Shekolku. No, so just tell us that case. Yes, we know if you tell me the case of the Achen Shekolku, that they're considered Lekucha, saying there's no Brera in that situation. Oh, you know why? Mishum de Lechumra. They were going Lechumra. We're not sure is there Brera or not in that situation. So go Lechumra and say that you have to follow the din, that it goes back to the owners at the Yovel. We're going Lechumra. However, in the case of the Get, we should be concerned about Brera, and therefore, one might say that in the case of the get, l'chumra, there should be reyach of a get. And therefore, that's why it had to tell me that case as well. The teacher said, no, Rav Yochanan says, even in that situation, the din is there is absolutely no brera, and therefore there's not even a reyach of a get. Or alternatively, you could argue, inami kitchila. In the case of the land going back to the original owner, that's because the Torah tells us that at the Yovel year, it goes back to the original owner. But in the case of the get, avo hacha, there is no such din that the get automatically goes back to, so to say, the original owner, that it goes to the one that he intended to give it to. No, there is no such din. And therefore, one might have said that in that situation, there is a concept of brera, and maybe in this situation, there should be a reach of a get, according to Rav Yochanan, therefore, tzricha. You need to tell us both cases. Bottom line is, Rav Yochanan holds very strongly that there is no brera, so much so that we don't have michoshish even for the reach of a get, and in the case of the brothers that inherited, that goes back to the estate, goes back to the status that it was to belonging to a single entity, the father's Yerusha, the father's estate, and then they redivide it up again at the Yovel. Okay. The Gemara says, Boy Mene Rav Oshaya, Mere Yehuda, Rav Oshaya asks of Yehuda the following Shaila. He says, if a person says to the sofer, Omra Lelavlar, Kisov Le'ezo Shetetze Ba'Pesach Tchila, instead of, as our case, the last case of the Mishnah was, write it for whichever one I wish to give it to, which would be the husband determining which one to give it to. Instead, he instructed the sofer, and he said to him, listen, Kisov, write this get, and I will give it, to both wives have the name Rachel, and I will give it to Le'ezo Shetetze Ba'Pesach Techila, whichever one comes out the door first, she will be the one that I will divorce. Now here, he is not making the decision, so to say, the women are making the decision. Chance is making the decision, whichever one comes out first. So it's not his brera, so to say. It's a brera that's outside his control. So Rav Hoshaya asks Rav Yehuda, Mahu, what's the halacha in that situation? Do we say there's brera over there, and this is in fact a good get or not? So Rav Yehuda tells him, our Mishnah said it. There's no din of brera. Amar Lay, he said, Tinisua. We learned in our Mishnah, the fourth case of our Mishnah, when he told the sofer, Yasser Mikain, in addition to the previous three cases, if the person said, Omar Lelavlar, Kisov Le'ezo She'eretze Agarish, Apostle Agarish, but we said there that it's not considered a valid get, Therefore, Amo ain't Brera. There's no Brera in that situation. Review this says the two situations are analogous. Whether the husband was the one that made the decision, give it to whichever one I wish to, or whether it was an external factor, whichever one comes out of the door first, that will be the one that it gets for. In both situations, review the fields, they're equivalent, and therefore there is no din of Brera, regardless of whether it's the husband that's making the Brera or external factors that are making the din of Brera. So Hoshaya questions this, he says, wait a second. There's a famous Mishnah in Psachim that tells us the following. Esvei, it says in Psachim, Ha'omer Levonov, the man says to his children, this is, he's about to bring the Korban Pesach, and he wants to have his children included in his Korban Pesach. The din is by a Korban Pesach. Before the Shlita, you must include somebody in the number of the Korban Pesach. They have to be considered part of that Korban Pesach. They have to be counted as being one of the people that's part of that Korban Pesach. So if a man says to his children, Hareini shocher es ha-Pesach, ami shiyalim yikem rishon liyushalayim, he says, I'm shechting this Korban Pesach, and whichever one of you, he tells to his children, whichever one of you gets here first in Yerushalayim, they will be included in my Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, kivan shenichnas rosho verubo to Yerushalayim. As soon as the first one of them gets into Yerushalayim, he is part of that Korban Pesach, Zocha b'chalko, and as well, umezake es echov imo. He also brings along for all of his brothers the share in the Korban Pesach as well, and they all are included in the father's Korban Pesach. Now, what do you see over here? We don't know which one is going to get there first, so this is an external factor, and yet it does seem to say that that child will be able to become part of the Korban Pesach, and he brings along all the other children as well into the Korban Pesach. So Rav Hoshaya says, you see here, by Adin Doraisa, the Korban Pesach, there is this concept of Brera. We don't know which child will be the first one to get there. And he says, Hareini shocher es ha-Pesach, ami shiyal became rishon liyushalayim, whichever one of you gets the first, they'll be included. So there is a din of Brera in this din. So how can you review to say there's no din of Brera in that situation? So Yehuda responds, and he says, Amale, he says to Rav Hoshaya, Hoshaya Bri, Hoshaya, my son, Ma inyan psachim etzel gittin. Why are you comparing this over here, the case of psachim with the case of gittin? After all, you didn't fully understand that Mishnah that we had in psachim that you just brought down with the father. Ha'itmar Allah, we already explained in the name of Rav Yochanan what that Mishnah is talking about. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kidei lezarzum b'mitzos. The father, in fact, included all of his children in the Korban Pesach. They were all part of his Korban Pesach. All right, why did he tell them, Arei shoked as a Pesach, Amishiyala, became Rishon Yushalayim? The whole purpose of that was Kidei lezarzum b'mitzos. He wanted to get them excited and to be really zealous in their performance of the mitzvahs. He said, so whichever one you gets there first, he'll be the one that be Zochet, all the other brothers in the Korban Pesach. They all were included in the Korban Pesach. There was no case of Brera over here. This was purely a statement to be mizaris to them. Hey, get to Yerushalayim on time. Don't come in at the last moment. Get there on time. So Kidei lezarzum b'mitzvos. That's the case. It has nothing to do with Brera. All of them were included. When he said, Amish Yala became Rishon Yerushalayim, that was just a statement to be mizaris them. That wasn't a halachic statement. They all were included. He said, all of you are going to be included in my Korban Pesach. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understood the Mishnah, and therefore there's not a Shailam Brera. And the Gemara says, Daikonami, I'll show you that this understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, which is also the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, is correct, because read that Mishnah carefully, Diktani. Kivon shenichnas rishon rosho verubo zocha b'chalko umezakes echovimo. Since it says, as soon as the first son gets his head and his body, in other words, he arrives in Yerushalayim totally, so he is considered the first one in, he now is part of the Korban Pesach, he's included in the minyan of that Korban Pesach, and he's mezak all of his brothers. Now, if you're telling me that really the case was, as Rav Yochanan had said, that it was only Kidei lezarzum b'mitzvos, and the father had included all of the children in the Korban Pesach, meyikara, from the beginning, the aninu meyikara, so then, Shapir, we understand why all the sons are now going to be included in Korban Pesach. Eliyam is the low aninu, but if you're telling me that the father really did not go and include them all in Korban Pesach, and he really meant only the first child that would get there, he would be included in Korban Pesach, and this is then a Brera. If you're telling me that that's true, Eliyam is the low aninu, so li'achar shchita mi komismanu, then the Shechita was done. How could anybody be included in the Korban Pesach after the Shechita? The last guys to come, they got there after the Korban Pesach was Nishchat. They got there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Korban Pesach was Shechted at 2:30 in the afternoon. So how can they be included after the Shechita? If they weren't included previously, like Rav Yochanan explained, then you got a problem. They can't be included in the Korban Pesach. Because we also learned in that Mishnah Psachim, Vatnan, Nimnin Umoshlin, you're allowed to be counted toward the Korban Pesach. Then you're allowed to remove yourself from that Korban Pesach, go to another Korban Pesach. Nimnin Umoshlin, you go back and forth being included, not included in the Karban Pesach, until Minin Moshe Yedem Imenu Ad Sheyishachet, until the time of Shlita. There's another opinion that says until the time of Zrika, but here the basic opinion is until the time of the Shlita. And therefore, how could any of the sons be included in the Karban Pesach if they weren't Amninu Meikari, if they weren't included from the very beginning, which supports and proves Rav Yochanan's point? How could any of the brothers be included in Korban Pesach after the Shlita? Oh, Kamash Balon, that in fact Rav Yochanan is 100% correct. Daikonami would bring really a good proof to Rav Yochanan's Shita, which is how Rav Yehuda held. And in addition, Tani Nam Yocha, we have a Brisa that says exactly Rav Yochanan as well, like Rav Yehuda. Maisa, there once was such a Maisa, and the father was being Zaris, his boys and his girls. Whoever gets the first will be Zoch on behalf of all the others. And Maisa v'kadmu banos labanim. The names Ubanim Banos Zerizos Ubanim Shefalim. There once was such a Maisa, where the Brisa records that the father said, "No, whoever gets the first will be Zoch on behalf of everybody else." But he really had included everybody Meikara, and here in this situation, the daughters were more Zaris. They were more Zerizim than the sons, and the turned out that the daughters got there first. So the names Ubanos Zerizos, the daughters were much more performing the mitzvah with alacrity, Ubanim Shefalim, and the sons were the lazy bums. So therefore, they got there late. And therefore, you see again, a Brisa says the same exact thing. This was after the Pesach was Nishcha. So how could it possibly be that anybody was included unless they were Amninu Meikara? So that's the case. And therefore, Yehuda tells of Oshaya, you can't bring me a Raya from that case. That case is not a case of Brera. Now, along comes Abaye and says, I don't understand over here. Rav Yehuda and Rav Oshaya, they seem to be arguing on different wavelengths. Rav Yehuda is medakdek always in a case where it is the choice of the person who made the get. When he told the Lavlor, he told the sofer, I want to be Megarish, the wife that I choose later on to be Megarish. They're both named Rachel, I want to be Megarish. So that's the husband who's making the din of Brera. And in that situation, Rav Yehuda says, Les Le Brera. But Rav Oshaya is asking from a case where it was an external factor. He said, what about the case where the man tells the sofer, I'll be Megarish, whichever one of the two wives comes out first? So this is Abaye's question. I'm Abaye. Maybe called boy Mine, Rav Oshaya was asking him on the case of Tola B'das Acherim. Is there Brera in that case? He might say that, I agree with you, Rav Yehuda, in our Mishnah, where it's Tola in the Das of the husband who's writing, telling the sofer to write to get for him, so then that's Das Atzmo. Over there, you're right, there's no Brera. But maybe in the case where it's Tola B'das Acherim, there is Brera. And therefore, how could you, Rav Yehuda, answer me, Abaye says, because Parshat Lei Tola B'das Atzmo. I don't understand the question, Abaye says. Rav Oshaya asked a good question. Rav Yehuda is answering him from left field. It has nothing to do with the case that Rav Oshaya asked him. The Koposhet Le Tola B'das Atzmo. He's giving him an answer from the case of the Lavlor, where he told him, I will divorce whichever one I want. That's different than the case whichever one will come out first. How does that answer it? Well, the Moshev Le, and Rav Oshaya wants to bring him a riot from the case of the Korban Pesach, which is, again, Tola B'das Acherim. So there seems to be a disconnect over here. Rav Oshaya asks a good question. What is the din of Brera in the case of Tola B'das Acherim? And Rav Yehuda keeps on answering him in the case of Tola B'das Atzmo. So what's going on over here? That's Abaye's question. Rava says, no, it was a very very simple understanding over here. Amar Rava, my kusha, why is your problem? You seem to suggest that maybe there's a difference between the din of Das Atzmo and Das Acherim. There is no difference between the two. My kusha, your question is Dilma, Duman de Isle Brera, Lo Shnor Tola B'das Atzmo, Lo Shnor B'das Acherim. Indeed, the halacha is one and the same. And that's what Ryuda is telling Rav Oshaya. If you hold that Dilma demand the Isle Brera, that there is in fact Brera, so then that applies. Lo Shnor Tola B'das Atzmo, Lo Shnor Tola B'das Acherim. It makes no difference as to what the Brera is around, whether it was the husband who's writing the get, he's the one that's making the Brera, whichever one I wish to divorce, or if it's a case of where it's Das Acherim, that it's whichever one comes out first. So there's no difference in the din. If you hold Brera, there's Brera in both. Isle Brera. But Uman de Lesle Brera, if you want to say that there's no Brera, so then, again, there's no Brera in both. Lo Shnor Tola B'das Atzmo, Lo Shnor Tola B'das Acherim, Lesle Brera. So therefore, Rav Yehuda was answering Rav Oshaya very, very appropriately, Rava says. He's telling him that we postulate the Mishnah, which said that there is no din of Brera, and that was Tola B'das Atzmo, but the same din would apply if it was Tola B'das Acherim. Now, Rav Misharishya goes and asks Rava. He says, really? There is no difference? You're saying that there's no man diyomer that holds the difference between Tola B'das Acherim versus Tola B'das Atzmo? So Amalei Rav Misharishya L'Rava. Rashi says to Rava, I'll show you a Tana, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who does make a distinction between Breira by Das Atzmo versus Breira by Das Acherim. Where is that? Var Rabbi Yehuda, the Tole Bedas Atzmo, Lesle Breira, the Tole Bedas Acherim, Isle Breira. I will show you the Tana Rabbi Yehuda makes exactly such a distinction which you dismiss, Rava. You say, oh, everybody holds they're both the same. Either there's Breira by both, Das Acherim and Das Atzmo, or there's no Breira by both, Das Acherim, Das Atzmo. I'll show you, Rabbi Sharsha says to Rava, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda sometimes holds it as Breira, sometimes holds it as not Breira. It depends on whether you're told about Das Atzmo, then there is no Breira. So in the case of the Mishnah, where he tells the Ladler, go and write the get, and I'll divorce whichever one I want, so then there is no Breira, like our Mishnah said. But if he's told about Das Acherim, like Rav Hoshaya is, then what about if the man says whichever wife comes out first, so there is a Breira in that situation, and the get would work in that situation. So how can you say that there's no such case where there's a difference between Das Atzmo and Das Acherim? Here, Rabbi Yehuda holds, in fact, sometimes there's Breira. In the case of Das Acherim, there is Breira, and it's only Das Atzmo and Lesle Breira. Where do we see the Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's Tola B'Das Atzmo Lesle Breira? That is from the following. There is no Breira in the following situation. That is the baseline opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then we'll see that there is Breira possibly in the other case. Titania, where do we see that he holds that Tolu Das Atzmo Lesle Breira? Because Halokeach Yaim Bin Akusim, a person wants to purchase wine from a kusi. Now, Rashi brings down, reminds us in the din of the Bibain Kusim. So Rashi reminds us, Kodim Gezerah, this was before the Gezerah, saying that the kusim were possibly not good converts, they were not really converts. So therefore, at this point in time, Rashi tells us that you have to take off Trumas and Maisus from the land that a Kusi has. And therefore, the Chayiv in Trumas and Maisus is Vadai Tevel if you don't go and take off Trumas and Maisus. Their produce has the status of Vadai Tevel. So here, what happens? The din is either it was Erev Shabbos and he wasn't able to go and take it off, or he had no keli. So Rashi says, "Ve'ein lo keli lahafrish trumus u'maisus." He wants to buy from this kusi, this barrel of wine, but he's very thirsty. He wants to drink some of it right now, and he has no keli to pour off the truma and maisus into. So what should he do in this situation? Vutzarich lishtos, he needs to drink. Let's say it's Shabbos, he has to make kiddush. So v'kusim geri emes choshevlu. At this point in time, it was pre-Gzeira. The Kusim were considered valid Gerim, and therefore, the Ein Eretz Yisrael Nifkas B'Kedushos Aydam, and the land of Eretz Yisrael that they own, has all the dinim of Trumas and Maisus in it. The Heim Chashudin Ala Maisos V'Ala Truma, and the Kusim were suspect. They didn't take off Trumas and Maisos, not like below Kami Aretz, Sheruban Ma'asrin. Not like the Ami Aretz, that most of them actually took off Trumas and Maisos, V'Kulam Afrishin Truma, and we only do out of the chashash, that a small percentage of them don't. So we call it demai, and yamafrish al suffik. It's called demai, duma. Did they or did they not? So by the Ami Haaretz, most of them took, but the rabbis made a gzeira that you still have to take off Trumas and Maisus from an Ami Haaretz. But Avokusim, there is a real chashud. Chashudim al hakol. They don't take off Trumas and Maisus on everything. Not Trumas Gedola, not Trumas Maisa, not Maisa Rish, not Maisa Sheni. The halokeach mehen tzorich vaday la'aser. They have to definitely go and take off Trumas and Maisus. So that's the case that we're talking about here. So the Braisa tells us, if a person, he purchases a barrel of wine from the Kusi, he needs to drink some of it now, and he doesn't have any way to take off Trumas and Maisus. So the Tana Kama, which we'll see, is Rav Meir says, Omer, this person is allowed to say, okay, I have 100 gallons over here in this barrel. Shnei Lugin, 2%, 2 of the Lugin in this 100 Lugin barrel, Shani Otsid Lahafresh, that I will eventually go and physically designate. I'm designating right now in theory. It's liquid. They're all going to be mixed. But he says the two that will eventually be designated are retroactively going to be Truma Gedola from this point on, even though they're not physically separated. He's mafrish them in theory. And when he eventually can take off those two will retroactively be in the two that he designated originally. Harehin Truma, that's Truma Gedola. Average person takes off 1/50th. So that would be 2 out of the 100. So this is retroactively going to be which two it is, because it's fluid, it's inside there. They're not physically separated, but whatever he eventually, when he gets another container to pour it off into, whatever two he pours off will retroactively have been the two that were designated at the beginning. They will be the Truma Gedola. Likewise, then he has 98 left, so we round it off and we say, Asara, my Sirisho, is really 9.8, but he then takes off 10 and they are physically separated now. When he says he gets a container, these 10 will be the Maaser Rishon, which will have Trumas Maaser inside of it. One-tenth of those 10, one of them will be Trumas Maaser. And he says, whatever will eventually be poured off, retroactively, it will be determined that that's what's designated right now. That will be Maaser Rishon. And it does the same thing. Tisha, it's only 9 because there's really only 90 left. It's really a little bit less than 90, but we're rounding off. So then if you have 90 left, so 10% of that is 9. So Tisha, Maaser Sheni. And he's retroactively saying that those 9 that I'll eventually pour off into a container when I get one, they will be Maaser Sheni from now. They'll retroactively be determined to be Maaser Sheni from now. And then we turn to Chofei Amud Beis Umechal. As Rashi points out, the top Rashi, this Maaser Sheni, he'll now be Mechala B'dibur B'alma Amo Sheishlo B'Bais. He'll now go and redeem this Maaser Sheni on coins that he has in his house. So he poda the Maaser Sheni on the coins that he has in his house, and therefore this 9 is definitely chul and can even be drunk right now. It doesn't have to even separate it because it's theoretically separated, and he's going to be redeeming it on the coins he had in his house. That which he can definitely correct, you don't have to rely upon Breira, go and correct. So this is the opinion that there is Breira, and the Shosim Yad, he can go and drink this now because it has Trumas Maaser's Mafrish, at least in theory, and albeit later on he'll actually determine which is which retroactively because of the principle of Breira, Divi Rav Meir, this works. So clearly Rav Meir holds that there is Breira. But along come these three Tanoim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, our Rabbi Yehuda that we're talking about, and we'll see later on, Rabbi Shimon, this is going to be the Rabbi Shimon that we'll talk about in a moment. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrum, they do not hold from this principle of Breira. Oh, what do you clearly hear? You see that Rabbi Yehuda definitely holds that there is no Breira when it's something that's determined by him. He is the one that's saying, I am Mafrish, this is Truma Gedola. I am Mafrish, this is Maaser Rishon. I am Mafrish, this is Maaser Sheni. So he's in control of it. But clearly, Rabbi Yehuda, and as well, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, there is no Breira in this situation. So when he's Tola B'das Atzmo, there's no Breira. But here, now, Tola B'das Acherim, is slave Breira, but I'll show you that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it's up to others, B'das Acherim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is Breira. Where do we see this? This is a Mishnah that we learned later in the Masechta on Daf Ayin Gimel. It says over there that if a man wants to give a get to his wife, and he says, listen, I'm going off on a business trip. I don't want my wife to be an aguna, or I don't want my wife to go and have to worry about Yibam, and he says, I'm giving you a get als Tanai, so to say. Ditznan. He says, I'm giving you this get, and if I don't come back, if I die, so then this get is effective from right now, my achshav. If I don't die, so then you're still married to me. But if I do die, let's say he's sick, so if I do die, this is a get from right now when I'm giving it to you, not after my death, because of course a get cannot take effect after Misa. So he says to his wife, in this situation, that you are divorced, may achshav, as Rashi says, Dira Masel Mahi, the common in Perek Misha Achuzu Daf Ayin Gimel, as I said, Ze Gitech Me Achshav in Meisi Micholi Ze. He's sick, and he says, if I die, then this get is your get from right now. Hare Ze Get in Meis. If I die, may also holy from this sickness that I have. So what's the halacha? Mahi Kol Yimei Choli. What is her status until he actually dies? If he doesn't die, of course, then she's never divorced. But let's say he dies, is she considered a divorcee from the moment that he says Me Achshav, or only when he dies? So that's the question. Mahi Biosan Yomer. If he in fact does die, what was her status during all those days? Is she considered divorced from minute one, or is she only considered divorced from the time of his death? So Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana who hold a minute ago that when it's Tola B'das Atzmo, let's slay Breira. Here he says, Yehuda Omer, Harehi Ke'eshes Ish L'chol Dvoreha. She is considered a fully married woman up until the moment that he dies. In other words, if she would, Rachmon al-Islam, to commit adultery, she would be Mezana. If, in fact, she was the wife of a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. However, Uluchi Meis, as soon as this guy dies, Hevegita retroactively. In fact, it turns out, Me'akshav, she was a divorcee. So here we see, there is Breira. If he dies, if he doesn't die, it's Tola on Das Acherim. It's not up to him whether he dies or not. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Tola B'Das Acherim. Whichever wife will come out first, that's the one that will be divorced. In this situation, is Slay Breira. So now, Rav Masharishia says, here you clearly see, there's a Tana, Rav Yehuda, that when it's Tola B'Das Atzmo, less Slay Breira. But it's Tola B'Das Acherim, is Slay Breira. So how can you, Rava, tell Abaye that there is no such case that a person would in fact have two different opinions. There's a Tana with two different opinions about Das Asu, Das Achaim. He's saying they're always the same. That's not true, Rava. There is a Tana that holds such a difference. And furthermore, now the Gears that we have is Amalei Mishar Shil Rava, that Rav Mishar Shil proved again to Rava. But since we just had him proved to Rava, so on the side, the Mesos HaShas says this should be Ravina. In any event, Ravina, or Rav Mishar Shil, is now going to give another Tana. He's going to show that Rabbi Shimon, the Tana that we just brought down, as included with Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the Kusi with the barrels of wine, said that there's less Lei Breira in that situation. I'll show you that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's only Tola B'das Atzmo the less Lei Breira, but just like Rabbi Yehuda, there's an example where he holds Tola B'das Achaim is Lei Breira. So Amalei Rav Mishar Shil or Ravina to Rava, he says, there's another Tana, Ha Rabbi Shimon, the Tola B'das Atzma, Les Lei Breira, the Tola B'das Achaim, Is Lei Breira. Here's another Tana, where he seems to distinguish between the two. In the case of Das Atzma, like our Mishnah, Les Lei Breira, when he says, whichever one I wish to divorce, so then there is no Breira. But whichever one comes out first, he holds that Is Lei Breira. It should work. So Mesharish's question that he asked on the Amora, Rav Yehuda, is a good question. Now, what is the case where Rabbi Shimon holds that there is, in fact, Tolu B'das Acherim is Lei Breira? So, first, the Gemara tells us that Ha Rabbi Shimon, the Tolu B'das Atzmon, Les Lei Breira, the Tolu B'das Acherim is Lei Breira. So, Tolu B'das Atzmon, Les Lei Breira, that was the case, Ha D'Amar, and that which we just said. That was the case of the purchasing of the wine from the Kusi that we brought down. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, they all hold that in that situation, Les Lei Breira. And where is the example for Rabbi Shimon? Tolu B'das Acherim is Lei Breira. What is his example of that? The Tanya within the following brisa. If a man says to a woman, Hare Boalech, I'm going to have relations with you for the purposes of Kiddushin, but it's conditional, Amenas Sheyirtza Abba, that your father will want. Now, he doesn't control whether the father will want him to marry the father's daughter. It'll be up to the father. So this is Tolu B'das Acherim. So he says, my relations with you will be L'shem Kiddushin if your father agrees to it. If your father doesn't agree to it, then it's Znus, then it's not L'shem Kiddushin. So, Hareni Barlech, Manash Yitzha Abba, so Afal Pisha Lo Rotzha Ab, Mikudeshes, the Tanakhama says, what are you talking about? Nobody wants to make his Bia into Znus, and therefore he changes his mind. When he does the Bia, he's doing it L'shem Kiddushin. And that which he said originally, it's going to be dependent upon your father, he changed his mind. Nobody wants his relations with the woman to be Znus, so therefore he changed his mind and said, even though the father doesn't want this, nevertheless, this is done L'shem Kiddushin. That's the Tanakham's opinion, has nothing to do with Breira, he changed his mind. But along comes Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishom, Artana Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says in the name of Artana Rabbi Shimon, who we just showed that it was Tola B'das Atzmo, Lesle Breira, but here, Rabbi Shimon holds that Tola B'das Acherim, and the father, it's up to the father, does the father want this marriage or not? Harini Bolech Amanash Yirtza Abba, it's Tola B'das Acherim, and that's the father. And Rabbi Shimon says, if the father says yes, you'd be a wonderful son-in-law, so then Mikudeshes, then the relations that he had with the father's daughter are in fact going to be L'shem Kiddushin. But we turn to Chavav Amar Aleph. However, Lo Ratzo Av, if, in fact, the father says, you'd be my son-in-law, you'd be Mekadesh my daughter with Bia, that's not allowed, that's not a good idea. So, Lo Ratzo Av, so then, Rabbi Shimon says, Eino Mekadeshes. So here you clearly see, Tole B'das Acherim is Lei Breira. So here again, we have either Rabbi Sharsha or Ravina says to Rabbi, here we have another Tana. We had before Rabbi Yehuda, now we have Rabbi Shimon, who holds that it's Tola B'das Atzmo, Les Lei Breira, but Tola B'das Acherim is Lei Breira. So how can you tell Rav Misharsha that there is no question that you're asking to Rav Yehuda, because everybody holds all times, whether it's Tola B'das Atzmo, Tola B'das Acherim, that there's one rule, either the Es Lei Breira or Les Lei Breira. Here we just showed you two Tanoim that disagree with that. So how does Rava respond to that? So Rava says, no, you're wrong. Amalei, no. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Shimon, both of these two Tanoim don't make any distinction between Das Atzmo, Das Acherim. Lo Shno, Tolo Das Atzmo, Lo Shno, Tolo Das Acherim. In both situations, is Lehu Breira. Their bottom line sheet is that there is Breira, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And that's why in the two cases that you mentioned, they do hold that there's Breira. In the case, Rabbi Shimon, that we just brought down, where it's Tola B'das of the father, if the father wants the Kedushin, then it's Kedushin. If the father doesn't want the Kedushin, then it was L'shem Znus. It's not L'shem Kedushin. So that's, he holds Breira. And the case of Rabbi Yehuda that we brought down, when the man who was sick gave his wife a get, and he said to his wife, if I die, then your Mugureshes may Akshav. So then, that's dependent on Das Acherim. So if there is, in fact, he dies, so then the get is valid retroactively. Isle Breira. So both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, both of these Tanoim hold the default position is Isle Breira. They hold Breira. Aye. We seem to say the case of the Kusim, which is told of Das Asmo, that less Le Breira. No, that's not a case of Breira. V'hasam kikitani time. Why did Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda argue on Rabbi Meir? Nothing to do with Breira. Because Amalele Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, you're 100% right. We all passing that there's a din of Breira. And therefore, what you're saying should be right. The ultimately, whichever two I pour off into the container will be Truma. Whichever 10 I pour off will be my Sarisha. Whichever 9 that I designate and then I Mechalal, I redeem it, that would be in the Maisa Sheni. That would technically work. Absolutely no problem because of Breira. We all agree. Isle Breira. But don't you agree to us in this particular situation, Rabbi Meir, where the guy doesn't have any containers? What would happen if the big barrel ultimately broke? So he drank, they put it down, and when he put it down, it broke. Now, where's your truma? Where's your Maisa Sheni? Where's your Maisa Rishon? Iyatamode, Shema Yibaka Hanod, the Nim says that shows it's falling Lafreya. Don't you agree with us? It's not a din of Breira. It's a practical situation where we don't know that he'll ever be able to separate the trumas and Maisa. In theory, yes, Isle Breira. However, bottom line is the node, the jug, the container may break. And all of those lugin that were designated to be retroactively trumas and maestros are now on the floor, and therefore they can't be trumas and maestros. So now what are you going to say? The Nim says that shows it's Tolem Afreya. Why did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon say this is no good? Not because they don't hold from Breira. They agree, Isle Breira. That's their default position. And there's no difference between Tola Atzmo, Tola Das Acherim. But over here, Shema Yibaka note, they're telling Rabbi Meir the reason why this case doesn't work because maybe the node will break. No, what does Rabbi Meir respond to them? Amalem says, no, you're 100% right. Likisha Yibaka. If the node breaks, then we got a problem. He inadvertently ate tevel. Not intentionally, inadvertently. But until the node breaks, we hold Breira, and therefore it's good. So the machlokas in Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi has nothing to do with Breira. And therefore, Rava tells Rav Misharshia, there is no distinction over here. When you're asking, is there a distinction between Tola B'das Atzmo, when he says to the sofer, I will go and give the gift to whichever one I want, versus Tola B'das Achayim, I will give it to whichever one comes out first, the din is one and the same. Either you hold Breira or you don't hold Breira. Our Mishnah holds that in fact there is no Breira, so it's true in both cases. No, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they would hold. In fact, there's always Isle Breira. So therefore, that is how we resolve this. Kasha Rava says, and therefore, my argument that Rav Misharsha did not have a question on Rav Yehuda is a correct argument because there is no difference between Tola B'das Atzmo versus Tola B'das Acherim. With this, we conclude today's share.